The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Eugenia Sumedusichi
and Yvonne Atilegu.
In the headlines, governance expert commends government for using good communication strategy to disseminate its manifesto. IEA unveils campaign plan to elicit questions from public for its upcoming presidential debate. Fake doctor arrested in Tema. Former member of the Council of State, Dr. Mary Grant, passes on, and more than 1,000 extra security personnel deployed to New York's transport hubs after 29 people were injured in an explosion. But first, a summary with Yvonne Atilegu.
A governance expert, Dr. Eric Oduor-Sai, has commended government for using good communication strategy to disseminate its manifesto. He has therefore urged other parties to do same. Dr. Oduor-Sai, who said this on GBC's current affairs program Talking Point, noted that manifestos are critical as it influences national development plans. The Institute of Economic Affairs, IEA, has unveiled a campaign plan dubbed I Want to Know to elicit questions from ordinary people for its upcoming presidential and vice presidential debates towards the country's December 7 elections. The Institute said the new crusade on its agenda will enhance citizens' ownership of the electoral process. A fake doctor identified as Wanda Honu has been arrested for organizing medical outreach program, screening and vaccinating people from various churches against the hepatitis B virus. The police, together with the medical and dental council, made the arrest at Tema when he was about to vaccinate the congregants at the church in Tema Community 8 against hepatitis B. Former member of the Council of State and former member of SWAP NDC, Dr. Mary Grant, has passed away yesterday. The family of Dr. Grant says she passed away in the afternoon at the 37 Military Hospital. Dr. Mary Grant made her political debut when she was appointed Deputy PNDC Secretary for Health in 1985. And more than 1,000 extra security personnel have been deployed to New York's transport hubs to ensure security after 29 people were injured in an explosion in the Chelsea district of New York City yesterday. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack.
GBC mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
In our first story this morning, a governance expert, Dr. Eric Oduor-Sai, has described party manifestos as important and critical documents that inform and influence national development plans. Speaking on GBC's current affairs program Talking Point, which discussed the NDC manifesto launch, Dr. Oduor-Sai said manifestos are tools for holding governments accountable, but was quick to add that not everything in a party's manifesto can be achieved. He commended the NDC for using a good communication strategy to disseminate its manifesto, urging other parties to do the same.
There were certain oral statements that were made at the point of launching, which cannot be found in the highlights. Oral statements like decentralizing the Attorney General's Department to the district level. For me, it was a very important point, and I was expecting to see more of it in the main manifesto. Going through it, and I can't see it there. And then issues like electing MMDCs, we are going to elect MMDCs. It raised awareness as a governance person. I was asking myself, how is that going to be done? So then it raised my expectation that, look, let's wait and see what is in the main manifesto. Let's see how they intend going about it. All in all, it was a very good strategy. I think it's something that most political parties can learn from the NDC. It's a good communication strategy. But the next step should be how to communicate the main manifesto to people.
The manifesto is just a promise to the people on what you do if you are elected into office.
What it then means is that the things you say also goes against you. We can interpret it in that context. The things may not be in the document, but as and when you go about promising people, it carries some weight. We have a certain critical mass in this country that goes on the the basis of the manifesto, that we cannot run away from that. Because they want to know what you've done. They want to be sure that you'll be able to do what you said you're going to do. And especially if you are really in government, the manifesto tells your story better. You may have done a lot of things, but then if you have a manifesto that looks at your past, look at what you've been able to do, and look into the future, it tells people to make informed decisions and judgments. And if you are in a position and you want to unseat the ruling government, the manifesto tells people what different are you going to do from what the ruling government is doing. It's very, very important. And it also tells us about whether or not that particular political party is serious with its ideology. If you are a capitalist, you are a social democrat, let this reflect in your manifesto. Then people will take you serious. In most cases, we've come also to realize that manifestos influence and inform national development plans. In most cases, if I want to know what is going to happen in Ghana in the next 4 years, I may want to look at the manifestos of the various political parties. The one that wins, I hold that person accountable and responsible. There's also a tool for holding the government responsible, a tool for accountability. So whichever way we look at it, we can never go through our democratic processes without having a manifesto. But we shouldn't think that the manifesto is only a written document. The oral statement, the representations you make, also binds you. That's a part of your manifesto promises.
Can a political party achieve everything stated in this manifesto?
Not at all. In my view, I think it can't be done. I mean, yes, they can go up to 60-70% because they don't have control over the resources. A lot of external factors
even
they have no control over.
Been in power for some time.
Definitely. There are a lot of externalities.
You understand the dynamics and
you can understand the dynamics and not everything. In everything you do, plus or minus 10% margin of error. So we shouldn't deceive ourselves that political parties can achieve everything in the manifesto.
Governance expert Dr. Eric Odrosain, a political marketer Dr. Corby Mensah said political parties cannot campaign without a manifesto since it serves as a guide. He said party manifestos influence the voting patterns of the citizenry.
When political parties have actually presented a paper, doesn't mean that they don't have a manifesto. You know, definitely they have a collection of ideas that they want to actually implement, i.e. put forward, and therefore, you know, people have an access to them. So in both ways, it's very important. How would you set your foot soldiers to go and campaign for you without having a collection of ideas that you're going to actually implement? They've got to have certain talking points that they could actually chew on and highlight on and tell people that my party is going to actually do A, B, C, D. It's only when you have a set of ideas, you know, put in a very portable manner that somebody can actually go out there and to campaign for you. Otherwise, we're going to have what we used to have or what we've been having, people saying things without having a concrete, you know, fact or concrete, you know, opinion. If you don't have a manifesto existing, then of course you're going to actually have that. Remember, the very highly, you know, vitalized society. You cannot actually campaign without having a manifesto. You have about 25 million people scattered all over, couldn't actually approach or get to everybody's homes to tell them what you actually have in order that they can actually vote for you. So you need some kind of document that the media can have access to and can digest, and then make sure that they can articulate the issues to the very people that you want to reach. You cannot go to every home, you cannot go to every town or something to present your views and your aspirations.
Has it influenced people at all to make decisions?
It does, because
I mean, in Ghana, in Africa.
Yeah, it does, because obviously, if you say that how do people vote and what are some of the things that influence people, we have myriad of things that actually influence. That's why I always say that ideas or issues actually are not economic. So when they say Ghanaians don't vote on issues, I say, okay, what is an issue to someone? Issues are not just economic issues. There are people who actually have issues with tribe, for example, and they will protest it in any way possible. And therefore, economic issues may not necessarily be the issue for them going to elections. So yes, the manifesto also serves its purpose. And like I said, it's actually something that someone can compare your previous with the current and say, yeah, in the previous you said A, B, C, D, E. Were you able to achieve that? No? Or yes? Yes? And then if yes, what is the foundation of this particular new idea that you're proposing? Is it that you couldn't achieve the previous or there were limitations? That, exactly. So you've got to outline all those things for people to have access to. And you can actually do that in a very portable way through manifesto.
A political marketer, Dr. Corby Mensah. The spokesperson for the 2016 campaign team of the NDC, Joyce Bawa Mukhtari, for her part, said the NDC will not only build on the developments achieved, but introduce new initiatives and policies to enhance development. She said the NDC's manifesto is a well-researched one and seen by all as a critical document.
They're going to seek a second mandate for President Mahama for his second and final term in office. So we expect that we are building not only on our achievements over the period, but of course we have also enhanced some of these achievements. We're going to make improvements in some of the interventions. Above all, we are likely also introducing some very new key elements which we believe would continue to deliver on the promises that we've made to the good people of Ghana. So yes, people who are such like-minded will judge us based on the contents of our manifesto, on the way the manifesto is presented, on the Outlook manifesto. Even comparing 2012 to 2016, there are some individuals who would make an exercise of this document. So we do not only present this just for our core supporters, we present it for the international community. Remember that we follow closely political discussions the world over. People are keenly watching Ghana as well. And in fact, some people are making a study, research into these activities that take place here. So for us as the National Democratic Congress, our manifesto is a very, very serious document. It is well researched. It is meant to address the issues that we believe are facing Ghanaians at this time. It is also researched in such a way that it's supposed to be responsive so that it is realistic and contains matters or objectives or goals that we are able, as a political party, to deliver on.
Those were panelists on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point.
Government says it will attach a representative of the Attorney General to all MMDAs to hasten the prosecution of corruption cases in its next term in office. It will continue to strengthen and support the media and civil society organizations to fight against corruption. Minister of Employment and Labour Relations Haruna Idrisu said this during the launch of the NDC manifesto in Sunya in the Bonwa-Hafu region. Said President Mahama has recognized that corruption has a serious effect on governance and can bring down public confidence in the political system, hence the need for the move.
There is a dedicated commitment and chapter on combating corruption, white-collar criminality, illegal trafficking, and money laundering. And President Mahama pledges to the people of Ghana that the NDC will continue to make corruption a high-risk activity, punishable in accordance with the rule of law. President Mahama pledges that every district assembly, municipal, metropolitan, will now have a dedicated representative of the Attorney General to help with the prosecution of cases in our quest to fight corruption. President Mahama is collaborating with the judiciary to fight judicial corruption, and President Mahama recognizes the role of a critical and independent media and civil society to fight corruption, and will continue to support the media to be able to combat corruption and to expose it. Therefore, it is a pledge of President Mahama that all anti-corruption institutions and agencies will be supported and strengthened financially to be able to deliver.
Minister of Employment and Labour Relations Haruna Idrisu.
The Vice President Kwesi Emesa-Arthur has called on Ghanaians to collaborate efforts towards the maintenance of peace and tranquility in the upcoming general elections. He stressed that the unity of the country will continue to accelerate the development efforts of the people if Ghanaians continue to maintain peace the country is currently enjoying. Mr. Emesa-Arthur made the call in a speech read for him at the 75th anniversary celebrations of the Bowiri Kwame Nkrumah of the EP Church in the Biakoya district of the Volta region. He lauded the EP Church for its role to the development of the country in the areas of health, education, and agriculture. The moderator of the EP Church Ghana, Right Reverend Dr. Seth Agidi, in a sermon attributed the problems of the country to corrupt leadership. He said instead of people in leadership serving the people, they rather use their position to amass wealth. This has resulted in the escalation of corruption in the country. Reverend Dr. Agidi cautioned that God will not judge man by his or her earthly wealth, but by virtues and good works. He therefore admonished Christians to eschew the lust for unlimited wealth and instead show love, patriotism, and volunteerism. He urged the leadership of the church to exhibit high sense of integrity, honesty, and hard work.
The Institute of Economic Affairs, IEA, has unveiled a campaign plan dubbed I Want to Know to elicit questions from ordinary people for its upcoming presidential and vice presidential debates towards the country's December 7 elections. The institute said the new crusade on its agenda will enhance citizens' ownership of the electoral process and encourage them to send in questions they would like to ask the candidates if given the chance to speak to them one-on-one. Following the launch, questions from the public can be submitted to the IEA's Facebook, Twitter and email channels. The executive director of the institute, Mrs. Jeanne Mensah, told journalists at the campaign launch in Accra that this approach will allow the electorate to demand accountability of the candidate even before they are elected president. Mrs. Mensah said the move will deepen democracy and ensure that real concerns of citizens are addressed by the candidate seeking to manage the national economy.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, crying out the major stories. Governance expert commends NDC for using good communication strategy to disseminate its manifesto. IEA unveils campaign plan to elicit questions from public for its upcoming presidential debates. Fake doctor arrested in Tema. Former member of the Council of State, Dr. Mary Grant, passes on. And more than 1,000 extra security personnel deployed to New York's transport hubs after 29 people were injured in an explosion.
The rest of the news. Worshippers at a church in Tema Community 8 were left in a state of shock when they found out that a man who claimed to be a doctor leading a medical outreach program on the hepatitis B virus is fake. The man, identified as Wanda Honu, had obtained permission from the leaders of the church to educate the congregation on hepatitis B, after which he will offer free screening and then vaccination against the disease at 30 Ghana cedis per person. But luck ran out for Dr. Honu when he was arrested by officials of the Medical and Dental Council Ghana at the church when he was about to vaccinate the congregants against hepatitis B on Sunday, September 11, 2016. Briefing the Daily Graphic, the registrar of the council, Dr. Eli Kwesi Atikwi, said Honu, who claimed to have trained as medical officer in Ukraine, had been moving from one church to another on a medical outreach program screening and vaccinating the worshippers against the hepatitis B virus. A police source at the Tema Community 8 police station who confirmed the arrest said the suspect will be arraigned before court later. Dr. Honu is said to have introduced himself to churches in parts of the Greater Accra region as the founder of the non-governmental organization NGO known as Wonder Care Foundation, which funded the medical outreach program and subsidized the hepatitis B vaccination with support from some foreign partners. Dr. Honu is also said to be able to cure hepatitis B virus with a drug he had received from some organization in the United Kingdom and Germany.
The quest for proper sanitation practice in the 21st century has become a major challenge for many countries, especially Ghana. It is estimated that globally millions of people, including children below 5 years, die due to effects of open defecation. In 2014, Ghana recorded the highest cholera cases with hundreds of deaths. Government, in response to this problem, introduced the National Sanitation Day. However, it seems education has not gone down well with the people, especially in the area of open defecation. Hega Say looks at the sanitation situation in Gwong with regards to open defecation.
The people of Gwong are mainly into crop and fish farming. Although the town has received an appreciable level of development, less attention has been given to sanitation, especially in the area of open defecation, which happens to be a major sanitation problem. The practice seems normal, since people care less about when and where they defecate. Visits to the town reveal that most houses in the community do not have toilet facilities, therefore the inhabitants go to the beach or bush for convenience. It is also a fact that only 2 out of every 20 houses have a toilet facility. An interview with Ubuntu News shows that residents who prefer the public toilet often have to queue for several minutes to access the facility to attend nature's call, a situation the residents said makes them uncomfortable.
We don't have toilet in our house. Our only source to toilet is to go to the public toilet. That's place too. When you go there in the morning, there's a long queue there. Sometimes I do take away. I get in a black rubber and go and dump it at the bush or border side.
You have no option than to visit the public toilet or the bush or sometimes even the beaches. Landlords and other houses should be forced to build toilets in their houses.
According to some sanitation scholars, 1 gram of human excreta contains more than 1,000 germs, which are harmful to human beings. A water and sanitation wash expert, Emmanuel Adai, says issues of open defecation must be taken seriously, especially in the communities.
Open defecation, in fact, is the riskiest sanitation practice we have in the world. You may see a lot of garbage around. Necessarily, they may not be harmful, but when they are mixed with matter, especially human feces, they become very, very risky. They can cause a lot of illness. And in Ghana here, we know how cholera can disturb us, especially in 2014, where more than 29,000 people were infected, and almost 250 people actually died. So if you don't indirectly, I would say if you don't eat human feces, you may never get cholera and typhoid. You must have eaten feces before. If you see a number of people getting infections with cholera and typhoid, it means open defecation is at work. People release their feces anywhere and anyhow, and they are transported by flies and by water and by even the dust, the air, the waste, and then they fall into the food that we eat, the water that we drink. So in the end, people get infections like cholera, typhoid, and even diarrhea in general. And more than 3,500 children under 5 years die in Ghana every year because of open defecation.
A water and sanitation expert, Emmanuel Adai, ending that special report on open defecation in Kung by Higase, will bring you the details of this special report in our bulletins at 1 o'clock.
Former member of the Council of State and former member of SWAP PNDC, Dr. Mary Grant, has passed away yesterday. The family of Dr. Mary Grant says she passed away in the afternoon at the 37 Military Hospital. Dr. Mary Grant, the first female medical doctor in Ghana, made a political debut when she was appointed Deputy PNDC Secretary for Health in 1985. She played a critical role in ensuring the welfare of all categories of health workers. Her service in the field of health, as well as her involvement in drawing up guidelines for grassroots political structures, led to her appointment as a member of PNDC in 1989. With special responsibility for health and education, in the inauguration of the Fourth Republic, she was appointed member of the Council of State. She was re-elected for another four-year term in 1997. She has led Ghana's delegation to many international conferences, including World Health Organization General Assemblies in Geneva. She was among Ghana's delegation to the Beijing Conference on Women's Rights. At the 39th Annual General Conference in 1997, the Ghana Medical Association awarded her a Certificate of Honor for her concern for welfare of doctors. She received a state award in the same year for her wise and forthright counsel as a member of the Council of State. She left behind 6 children.
In foreign news, Sudan says it will close its borders with South Sudan within days if its neighbors did not expel militant groups. Speaking to state media, a minister of state in the foreign ministry, Kamal Ismail, said that South Sudan had pledged to expel the militant groups within 21 days during a visit last month, but that has not been done.
More than 1,000 extra security personnel are being deployed to New York's transport hubs to ensure security after 29 people were injured in an explosion in the Chelsea district of New York City yesterday. The FBI says it is still searching for evidence to find out who planted the bomb. It had earlier denied news reports that 5 people had been taken into custody. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack.
And the party of Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany's CDU has suffered historic losses in Berlin state elections. It has been ousted from the state governing coalition with the center-left Social Democrats. Meanwhile, the right-wing anti-migrant party Alternative for Germany, AfD, made gains and will enter the state parliament for the first time. Mrs. Merkel's popularity has waned since her decision last year to allow more than a million migrants into Germany.
Now to end the news, the main point again. A governance expert, Dr. Eric Odrosai, has commended NDC for using good communication strategy to disseminate its manifesto. Dr. Odrosai, who said this on GBC's current affairs program Talking Point, noted that manifestos are critical as it influences national development plans. The Institute of Economic Affairs, IEA, has unveiled a campaign plan dubbed I Want to Know to elicit questions from ordinary people for its upcoming presidential and vice presidential debate towards the country's December 7 elections. A fake doctor identified as Wanda, who has been arrested for organizing medical outreach programs, screening and vaccinating people from various churches against the hepatitis B virus. Former member of Council of State and former member of SWAP NDC, Dr. Mary Grant, has passed on. And more than 1,000 extra security personnel have been deployed to New York's transport hub to ensure security after 29 people were injured in an explosion in the Chelsea district of New York City yesterday. The news was presented by Yvonne Atileku
and Eugenia Sumedusechi.